Welcome to the 271st episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Rutherford. Stay tuned for my interview with Sarah Pinsker, author of the novel A Song for a New Day. And just one programming note, this interview was recorded prior to current events and pre-pandemic. I've had a number of episodes in the queue, so stay tuned for my interview with Sarah Pinsker. This episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast is brought to you by Libro.fm. Libro.fm is the first and only company which lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore. Support your favorite local bookstore, and you can pick from more than 125,000 audiobooks, including New York Times bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there. You know who I'm talking about. But you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local bookstore. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to get more books into your busy life. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen to next, check out the recommendations and curated list from the people who know audiobooks best, your local bookseller. There's a special offer now for Reading and Writing Podcast listeners. Get three audiobooks for the price of one, $14.99, with your first month of membership. Just use the code RWPODCAST. Again, that's Libro.fm, purchasing audiobooks from your local bookstore, and use the code RWPODCAST. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Sarah Pinsker, author of the debut novel, A Song for a New Day. Sarah's short fiction has won the Nebula and Sturgeon Awards. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Well, your debut novel, A Song for a New Day, has been described as a dystopian novel. If someone listening hasn't heard about your novel yet, how would you describe A Song for a New Day?
I actually got totally surprised by the dystopian label that got put on it, which is funny because it is dystopian. But I tend to say a near future possibility full of music, something like that. I'm not very good at describing. If I could say it in a sentence, then I wouldn't need a whole book. But
sure.
It's a book about music and connections. And
In terms of like the overall or the general premise, isn't it that music or communal kind of concerts have been banned? Is that correct in a near future setting?
Yeah, it's a near future where some stuff has happened that's led the government to first ask people to stay home for their own safety, and then has turned for their own safety into law, which is questionable. And then technologies spring up to take advantage of that and sell people things so that they can enjoy music and shopping and bars and everything else that they're used to enjoying, but from the comfort of their own homes.
Gotcha. So do you remember the original idea that led you to writing A Song for a New Day?
So I have a story that I wrote before this called Our Lady of the Open Road, which follows one of the same characters. So part of the question is sort of what inspired that, because that then inspired the novel. Sure. And I think it's sort of a whole bunch of my fears about where music could potentially head that I exaggerated and put all of them in one place. So it's a lot of the questions of, you know, how do the initial questions were probably how do musicians make a living, you know, in a world that's paying less and less for music, or where people's attention is being drawn to, you know, do you want to finish the show that you started binge watching yesterday, or do you want to go out in the rain to go see a band? Even if you really wanted to see that band, like, do you start saying, oh, maybe I'll stay home, you know, like, I really do want to finish this show. And so all of those things sort of, I crammed them all into one.
And so what are, I mean, obviously you have the novel, which people can read, but what are your thoughts about that? And, you know, I'll do kind of like a little confessional. I certainly have found myself, because I'm 52 years old and I grew up probably going out to punk clubs and live concerts two or three nights a week. And now I rarely see a live show. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts about that are.
I'm guilty of it too. I mean, I know that there are shows I could go to any night of the week, and I try to go see my friends' bands when they play. And I try to, I love discovering new bands or new to me, you know, and, I love little shows. I tend to like look at big shows by big artists that I love and say, oh, I should really go to that. And then I just, you know, nope out of the cost or the travel or the parking or whatever. And that I don't feel so bad about, but sure. The little shows that I could, you know, get to in 10 minutes and pay $10 and be inside. I have a lot of guilt about the nights that I stay home. So I guess maybe I'm chastising myself, which I hadn't even thought about.
Right. Well, in addition to writing award-winning short fiction and now your first novel, you're also a singer-songwriter and have released 3 albums. I'm curious about your creative process, specifically when you start thinking about an idea. Do you ever have to figure out in your mind or your process of whether it's an idea for a song or a short story or now a novel?
Yeah, absolutely. To me, they're all modes of storytelling. So yeah, an idea comes and you do have to figure out which mode is the appropriate one for it. And I guess sort of in the same way that a poet might get an idea and need to figure out whether it's, you know, free form or a sonnet or a limerick or a haiku. Most ideas, I think this has come over time, especially with writing a lot of short stories and a lot of songs. I think I've gotten to a point where when an idea comes, I get a sense of how much space it would need to be told. So this felt way too large to fit into, say, you know, three verses and a chorus. I just had too much to say. And you know, could it have been a short story? No, I tend to think a short story is sort of a single moment as, or, you know, a fairly small amount of time. And it usually explores one idea in depth. And then once you start getting more than one idea, more than one character to braid in, you start getting a little more complex, and they become like, that's when you start looking at a novel, when there's just multiple ideas that are related and need to be woven together.
Sure.
And I did, since you asked that in that particular way, I'll also mention, when I wrote the first draft of this, though, in order to get into writing it as a novel, I actually wrote it in a song format. So you sounded like someone who would appreciate that. But you know how song structure is usually written with like A as a verse and B as a chorus or something like that, and right. C as the bridge, and so you do like an A B A B C A B type thing. And so my first draft was a song, and then I started getting clever with myself, and I gave it a bridge that took place on a bridge, and I gave it a solo, which is the bridge and the solo and the coda are still all in there as remnants of when it was a song, but. A very, very, very long song, but it doesn't work out so well. At some point you have to look and say, am I telling this right? And it was right for drafting, but it wasn't right for presenting it to other people.
Sure. And did you ever release that song?
No. I mean, it's just a first draft.
Right. Right. So I'm curious, kind of along those same lines, have you always written fiction, or were you a musician first or a writer first? How did that come about in your own life, or were they always kind of side by side for you?
They were both always in my life. Like I know I was writing short stories from a really young age. I started submitting them when I was 12 or 13, and I'm very thankful those didn't get published. And I was 12 when I got my first guitar, and I was performing way before I should have been also. I guess they've always been in my life. I do have a hard time doing both at once. So, you know, my 20s were entirely music, and I didn't have enough space for writing fiction. And as I've written more fiction, it's gotten harder to keep up the music end of things. So I have a fourth album that's completely done, that's completely in the can, that's ready to go. And it just needs some TLC that I don't have time to give it right this moment. And I'm hoping to at some point in the near future.
Great. Well, what was your publication journey like? I mean, you obviously said you started submitting very early. What was kind of your journey, and what led you to your first short story sale?
So I submitted a bunch of stuff before I was even in high school, maybe a little bit in high school. I started my high school's literary magazine, so I was still writing stories then. And I took all the story classes in college and everything. So I was still writing stories then. And it was towards the end of college that I started like playing more and more music. And I decided that I was gonna, you know, give up the lucrative career of fiction for the lucrative career of a touring musician. And, so that was when I sort of put the fiction aside for a while. And then in maybe it's close to like maybe 8 years ago now, I started writing fiction again. And I can't really remember why or how that started happening again, but it actually picked up pretty fast for me. So I had maybe a year of writing stories and throwing them everywhere, and then after that they all started to sell. So there were some rough ones in that first year, but I think everything that I did honing my storytelling down to three verses and a chorus actually helped with the quality of my fiction, helped it so get published faster. Like I think I had gotten pretty good with word choice and just with the rhythm of sentences, mm-hmm. the rhythm of paragraphs, all of that stuff. Good snappy beginnings and endings. And so then it was just a matter of figuring out which stories I wanted to tell. And they've been, I think my first prose sale was 2011 or 2012, and I've had about 50 since then.
Wow, great.
Yeah.
And so what was the writing process like for your novel? Did you outline it extensively, or are you a more organic writer in terms of the plot and the
this
story?
This one I did not outline. I'm not in general an outliner. The next novel that I'm working on, I ended up with an outline and enjoyed the process more than I expected to, because I'd been pretty derogatory about that process, just in terms of how I didn't think it would work for me. But this one, I sort of, this one really progressed very naturally, and then it was just a a question of putting the pieces in the right place. So I think I told it linearly at first, and then realized I needed to do some chopping up. You know, I did it in this weird song format, and then realized it wasn't going to sound right. Right. So I had to, it spent too much time on each character relative to the other. So you were away from one for too long. It needed a little bit more back and forth. And I sort of chopped up the timeline at the beginning, in a way that turned out the way it sounds to me in the end. And it's funny that I use the word sound. But it starts out like two records that have beats that are slightly out of sync, and you need to match the beats. And once the beats match, they lock in, and the band kind of locks in, you know. So I had this feeling that there's a moment where you people are kind of unmoored at the beginning with which time, like where things are in time, and then I want it to lock in. But I like leaving things unmoored right at the beginning.
Got it. And what's the short story writing process like for you? When you write a short story, do you usually have kind of an idea in your head, or do you start with an image, or what's the process, or is it different for you for each story?
It can be different, but generally there's some idea that has crossed my mind, and then it's a question of whose story is this to tell. And once I have the who alongside the idea, it starts to get easier to tell.
Gotcha. And so what advice would you have for aspiring writers who may be listening, given your success with short stories and now your first novel publication?
I think, let's see, what advice would I give? Work really hard on your beginnings and endings. I think that, in terms of getting something to a place where it'll sell, you want to catch eyes with your beginning, and then you want to leave the editor who's reading your work with something that they can't forget, whether it's an image or a sentence or something. So those beginnings and endings, and just following through this, so that the promise that you make at the beginning is the thing that you bring it around to in the end. I think that would probably be my advice. And just asking, this isn't my advice, but the writer Theodore Sturgeon's advice to his students was always ask the next question. So I think it's really easy to get an idea and write something immediately that's based on that idea, and it's quick and it's snappy and it's, you know, very, and then it's idea based, but it's very superficial. And it's not until you probe a little bit and ask the next question that you figure out where the real story is sometimes.
Yep. So what books, fiction or nonfiction, have you read recently that made an impression on you and that you would recommend?
I've been reading a bunch of collections recently. Ted Chiang's is one that the new collection, Exhalation, is one that everyone will probably have heard of. And he's a master. That's a master class. But there's also some great new collections. There's a writer named Molly Gloss who had a wonderful new collection that came out in July. There's a collection called Homesick by Nino Cipri that's coming out in November, I think. Jessica Reisman's collection that's coming out in November that I just read. Malka Older has one that's coming out in November. I think November. Yeah, they're all somewhere around then. And if your listeners are writing short fiction, I highly recommend picking up any of those books. They're all just fantastic examples of what you can do with a few thousand words.
Great. Well, we've talked about your debut novel. Do you have any upcoming short story publications that you wanted to mention?
Well, I should also mention my first collection also came out in March, which is Sooner or Later, Everything Falls into the Sea. Stories coming up. The only one that I have that is unpublished as of this moment, I have a whole bunch that I'm dying to get to write as soon as I finish this novel. But the only one that's sort of in the can but hasn't happened yet, as far as I can think of off the top of my head, is a story called Two Truths and a Lie, which will be on tour.com. next July. It's a little ways away. I just sold it last month, but they have a very long turnaround time. So,
gotcha.
But that one's a horror story, which is something I never expected to write. So I'm very excited about it. I guess dark fantasy, not horror.
Gotcha.
But it's fun to play in other playgrounds sometimes.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Sarah Pinsker, author of the debut novel, A Song for a New Day. The novel is in bookstores now, so go grab a copy or download the ebook. And Sarah, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great.